Father, I just thank you and I praise you for the anointing through the praise and worship. I thank you, Father, for your people who came out to sit in your presence. I thank you, Father God, for your love for your people. We just thank you, Father, that you're working overtime, setting your people free. And Father, I'm just asking that you just move amongst the people here tonight. Complete the work you started during the praise and worship. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's not forget to keep Jim Baker, Reverend Jim Baker, up in prayer. And I can't believe he's being harassed the way he is. But and also Michigan. Michigan's in a mess. And those two dams didn't hold. And they said, somebody there said there's looking for 9 feet of water by 8 o'clock tonight. And there's a vast evacuation right now going on. I said, well, God, we've had a lot of rain and wind, but we're not being evacuated. We're not drowning, losing everything we have. See, we need to start thanking God for what we do have. Because look at our neighbors now. You know, they're all evacuating. They're going to have all this water in their homes. And it's going to be a mess for them for a season. And here we sit, and we don't have all these problems, but we still complain. I think maybe we need to repent from the complaining spirit. You know, people say, well, I repented, but, you know, you're still complaining. So I think you need to repent of the complaining spirit. I've said, you know, I've never seen people. They have everything they could possibly want, and still they complain. You know, everybody's taking care of them, and, you know, handing, you know, from just taking care of them, period. They don't have to work or do nothing for anything, and they're complaining because that's a spirit of complaint. You know, it's a shame, though, with Jim Baker. It actually made him have a stroke. And I don't think God wants any of us to go through that. You know, I know you. And we shouldn't walk in fear of any type. But I just can't get over the fact that this has happened to him. And he's actually now on a sabbatical, and his wife and kids are running their program. But you have to think about this. This could happen to you. You haven't started your ministries yet. And this could happen to you one day down the road. You need to really take everything that's going on right now. You need to take it into your spirit. You know, look at what's going on. Look how it happened. Look what, you know, okay, so somebody complained because he's trying to sell something. And then it caused him to have a stroke. And now he's not on his program for a little bit. You need to watch all this. And what you need to do is say, God, but for your grace, there go I. And you need to say, God, let me learn from this experience that somebody else is going through. Let me learn from this so I, when it happens to me, I won't go through that same thing. I'll be rooted and grounded in you, and I'll be on a sure foundation, and the enemy will not be able to take me off course. And the enemy come in there real quickly with him. He wasn't expecting it. And so you can say, well, I just wouldn't react like that. You're going to be the next one hit. You are, because you're also that sure of yourself. I just say, God, I just thank you that you're keeping me and that the enemy can't touch me. Because we just don't know. We just don't know. Tonight, God wants to talk more about your destiny. So your destiny is closer than you think. One of the first things you have to understand is that God has given you gifts to use for his glory. God created you for the purpose of his kingdom going forward. He has enabled you to reach people that no one else can. How many times has he had me say that to you? And it is a giftings he has given to you that accomplishes it. In Romans 12:6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Our gifts are different. And while I was reading that, God prompted me to have you continue to pray for Randy Walters. You know, he's just, I don't know when the funeral is, but He's getting ready to bury his wife. All right, Romans 12:6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. All right, second, you need to understand that your giftings are unique to you. Don't look at what someone else can do and wish that was you. I went through all this junk when I first started. Don't do that. Your gifting is unique to you. Let's take a look at Gideon in Judges chapter 6. Everyone judged Gideon and thought he was a coward because he hid away in a wine press in order to thresh wheat in safety. You know what God saw. That's what everybody saw, but do you know what God saw? What God saw was someone who would not give up and would think outside of the box to survive and defy the enemy. He didn't run to stick his head between his legs and say, oh my, what am I going to do? He just went in there to the wine press and kept grinding his wheat. See, we all have to get that mindset. What are we going to do when adverse things come our way? We should already have a plan in order so that the enemy can't take us off course. And that plan is to trust God in all things. And in Matthew 10:42, Jesus says, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So if your gift is to give a cup of cold water in love to someone who needs it, you are advancing the kingdom of God. Remember the story about the elderly man who died, went to heaven, and he said to God, I didn't do anything for you. And God said, yes, you did. You saved that one soul. And that's all I had for you to do was save one soul. And you saved that one soul, so you fulfilled your destiny. A lot of us think we have to, you know, do great things, but God might only have one thing for you to do to fulfill your destiny. Now, you who are lazy, don't that use that as an excuse not to do anything. All right. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know that God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So I said, 1 Corinthians 2:9 tells us, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. There are many more promises in his word like this, but sometimes we reach for the river and land in a swamp. We get just enough water to get wet, but not enough to swim in. In other words, you don't go deep so you can fulfill your destiny. Number one, some people settle back into low expectations. Number two, others want the whole church to change. Remember, I went through that season. If you all would just change, remember that? Others want the whole church to change. And then I finally said, well, I don't care what you do. I'm just going to go ahead and do what God wants me to do. Right? And number three, a few press through the difficulties. That's what I did. And step up into God's highest purposes for their lives. So let's read them again and see if you fit any of the categories. Number one, some settle back into low expectations. Number two, others want the whole church to change. And number three, a few press through the difficulties and step up into God's highest purposes for their lives. Now, what does it take to press through and step up? Number one, it means we have to believe in our gifts when others don't. Number two, it means we have to keep sowing into God's purpose for our lives, even when it seems fruitless. Number three, and it means we have to remember that God's purpose is not just to bless us, but also to make us a blessing. Many of us wait for our surroundings to change so our destinies can unfold. That's what I was doing. Finally, one day God said, did I call them when I called you? Were they there when I used you for signs, wonders, and miracles? He said, what are you waiting on them for then? I started with just you and I when we began, I could, and I want to start with just you and I now. All right? So remember that. Somebody else is not holding back your destiny. You're holding back your destiny yourself. Because you're one of those that you settle back into low expectations. All right. I said many of us wait for our surroundings to change so our destinies can unfold. It doesn't work that way. It begins right here, right now, tonight. And it begins by replacing some of the myths about destiny with truth. Myth number one, God will make room for my gifts. Many people believe this, but actually the Bible says exactly the opposite. It says in Proverbs 18:16, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. I know when I first started, my gifts made room for me, and people called me to their churches to minister in their churches. All right? Now, if you can't do what you are called to do where you are right now, you probably won't do it in better circumstances. If you can't do what you are called to do where you are right now, in the midst of the turmoil, you probably won't do it in better circumstances. Prove your gift in your limited sphere of responsibility while it's still impossible. While it's still impossible, prove your gift. When God called Joseph to leadership, he sent him into slavery and prison to develop his gifts. You'll find that in Genesis chapters 37 through 39. When he called Elijah to a prophetic ministry, he sent him to an evil kingdom that forced Elijah to live in hiding, and that's in 1 Kings chapter 19. When he called Daniel to shape history through prayer, he sent him into captivity in Babylon among the eunuchs. You'll find that in Daniel chapter 1. When God called Paul to take the gospel to the Gentiles, he blinded him on the road to Damascus. With Paul sitting in darkness for 3 days, not knowing why it happened or if he would stay blind forever, God truly brought Paul to his knees. You find that in Acts 9, 1 through 43. All right, so all of a sudden you're just riding down the road on your little mule and you're struck blind. You know, nobody tells you nothing. Well, God said, why are you persecuting me? But, you know, that's all he knew. And then he had to sit blind for 3 days. You all would not fare well in that situation. No, you would. Come on. But see, I'm bringing these out to let you see what God did to certain people to start their ministries. It's yet to know that it's not that God is hard-hearted, but the gifts he places in us are sturdy and able to grow in impossibilities. It is there our gifts make room for us. Sometimes this church is impossible, but God wants my gifts to still grow here. Do you see this? And wherever you're at, maybe your situation is impossible, but God still wants your gift to grow there, wherever you're at. All right? Your gift, you could be in your home, and your gift is in, your gifting, it seems like you aren't doing anything, but it's right there in that impossible place that God wants to grow your gifts. He wants to make them strong. So how does your gift make room for you and bring you before great men? The more you use your gift, the bigger it gets. It is like a well-toned muscle that gets stronger and more powerful each time it is tested. Over time, as you become excellent in your gift, it gets noticed by others. And as you prove trustworthy, God will open doors for you that you could never imagine. See, there's too many in the body of Christ trying to open doors that God doesn't want opened, and your gift is not going to mature. I'm just hearing a lot of you need to learn to work behind the scene with your gifts and be humble with your gifts. And then God said, then he will put you to the forefront. Okay, let's talk about the story of Jonathan Goforth. He was a missionary to China. He was in seminary and wondered if he had what it took to succeed on the mission field. So he went into the slums, ministering door to door, and whenever and wherever he could. In the final months of his schooling, his classmates were nervously wondering if a church would open its doors to their ministry. Now let's read that again. In the final months of his schooling, his classmates were nervously wondering if a church would open its doors to their ministry. By contrast, Jonathan was looking for a new pastor to take over the church he had already started. See, while the others were just sitting around waiting for, you know, somebody to recognize them, Jonathan was out there doing his job, you know, and using his gifts, and he started a church. All right? Most of the church is like Jonathan's classmates, waiting for the church to identify their gifts and make room for them. But a few like Jonathan are going forth outside the church and proving their gifts without messing up the ministry God has given anyone else. You all right? So if you're in here trying to get your gift working and what you're doing is messing up my ministry because you want to be seen. Well, she never lets me teach. She never lets me do that. She never lets me do that. She won't use me to prophesy. So you want your gift to be seen, and you're messing up my ministry. And I have done that. I've just sat back and said, all right, you know, go ahead and prophesy. Well, I just didn't use my giftings. I allowed y'all to use your giftings, and you got messed up. I'm serious. You got messed up. So see, if you would just sit still and let God use your mature your gifting, then you wouldn't have got messed up and have to go back and restart all over again. All right, that was myth number one. Now, myth number two, I won't be fulfilled until I get into my destiny. I hear that over and over and over again. Actually, if you're not fulfilled now, you probably won't be if you step into a larger sense of destiny. We need to understand that fulfillment is a paradox. It happens when we lose our lives to find them. I never wanted to prophesy. I just wanted to help any church I went into. I did not want to be called to the forefront for nothing, to teach or nothing. But I was always called to the forefront to teach. They always said, God's getting ready to move on Sister Barbara. We'll just wait. And then God would preach through me for 15 minutes. Well, I was trembling and shaking, you know, because the Spirit was so strong. And I didn't want to do none of that. I just wanted to go in and help. But there's too many come into the church, they want to be the church. Pastor, sit down now. I'm here, I've arrived, and now I'm the church. Right? That's the way it happens over and over again. You're not in all the churches. We confuse destiny with success. Destiny is not a title, a position, or a level of income. God may bring you into all of these things, but destiny includes your years of unrewarded and uncelebrated service in secret. Let's read that again. We confuse destiny with success. Destiny is not a title, a position, or a level of income. God may bring you into all of these things, but destiny includes your years of unrewarded and uncelebrated service in secret. We would all like to make money on a project. None of us like to lose money, right? Some would rather speak, now we go to the church now, some would rather speak to large crowds than small ones. We would rather be received in a church or town than driven out of town. You know, all these things happened to the disciples, didn't it? But Jesus was immune to these issues. He seemed to be as comfortable ministering to one person across the breakfast table as ministering to a crowd of thousands. I've heard many, many pastors say, if I can't preach to 100 or more, I'm not going to preach to 5. I'm not going to waste my time. Jesus wasn't like that. But then what's your motives? What's your thoughts? You know, this is all to get you to thinking. What is your motives and what's your thoughts? Jesus didn't get upset when the thousands left him after his message about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Do you know how many people left this church because they couldn't stand the hard teachings that I do? They said, we love you. We love the anointing. We just cannot sit under those hard teachings. We can't live like that. But it was the word. It was the word. I'm hearing God say he calls, you know, C-U-L-L, calls out those that he can't use, that it won't be fit for his ministry. And if you think you're so old that, and then some, God will set you under some hard teaching. And then you're going to find out what you're really not, right? Come on now. This is to get you to think tonight about your destiny. Jesus seemed to find as much purpose and fulfillment in being rejected as accepted. Jesus seemed to find as much purpose and fulfillment in being rejected as accepted. You know, when I was there in Pennsylvania, I'll just use that because I was told about that by the pastor. They thought I was just wonderful until God kept calling out the pastors because they weren't living right. And telling them how they were living, they didn't like that. So then one of the pastors, the one that invited me in there, said, "Don't believe a word she says because she's from the devil." But I was great until they found out, oh, God's going to use her to clean up the church, and we don't want to clean up. So then poor people who got free, then all went back into bondage because one minister didn't want to hear the truth of the word. Are you listening here? Did I get upset over that? No, because I knew what I went in to do. And I knew there's a lot of times God wanted to use me to tell somebody, hey, you know, you're the father of these children and you're having sex with your daughter. And these kids aren't, they're your kids and stuff like that. And I never said that. I thought, they'll put me on it. They'll tar and feather me if I do say all that. God, I can't say and do all that. Are you understanding that? So Jesus seemed to find as much purpose and fulfillment in being rejected as accepted. So are you going to find fulfillment in being rejected? No, your head should be going this way, Brett. Because how many of you can say that in the past it's upset you when somebody rejected you or rejected your teaching? I just say, boy, they're so dumb they don't even know the truth. Ask Chris, that's what I say. You know? Come on. If your destiny is to fulfill the will of the Father, you can find as much fulfillment in an obscure ministry as in being well known, just as Jesus did. If your destiny is to fulfill the will of the Father, you won't have to be well known. I'll just put it that way. And Jesus was wanting to do the Father's will, so he didn't care if you liked him or not. He just knew what he was doing. Some people think that, my kids say, are you scatterbrained? I said, no, I just know what God's called me for doing. I just do it. It's no big deal. If people don't like it, they don't like it. You know, it's not my job to make them like it. God told me that a long time ago. I'm going to tell you that again. It's not your job to make them believe the word. It's just your job to give the word. And if they reject you, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting the Jesus in you and the word that you're giving. All right, so always make sure you're giving the truth of the word. All right, if you think of destiny as success, it will always seem just a little beyond your grasp. You will never have quite enough. Myth number 3, God will cause me to come out on top. Now, many scriptures address this. Deuteronomy 28:13 says, you should be the head and not the tail. We all know Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is a heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Many of us make this into a myth because we imagine it's all about me. I'm going to be the head. The rest of the church is going to be the tail. Right? Astra to work said, I'm going to be the head and you're all going to be the tail because my word just told me that. See what I'm getting at here? Or my church is going to have revival. The rest of the churches in town are going to dry up. Or the churches that embrace my teaching are going to prosper. Other churches wither and blow away. See, God, I keep telling you, don't look at somebody else's ministry. Their ministry is none of your business. God told me right on up front, don't ever worry about the guy down in the corner. You worry about this church. Well, you operate in this church because this is where I placed you, and you don't need to know anything about anybody else except what's going on here. And I'm so glad he told me that early on, because I have enough problems in this church. I don't need to know what's going on in every other church in town. But do you know how many people want to know, have stick their nose in other ministers' churches, want to see what's going on there? That's none of your business. If you're really ministering to your church or your glow, then you have enough work to do just keeping your glow or your church going, because the devil works overtime. And people do get a little bit dumbfounded at times. And, you know, they do things that aren't right. Come on. All right, actually, God has promised to make every Christian the head and not the tail. This promise is as much for others as for you. This means God doesn't have to strip other people of their destinies to bring you into yours. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Actually, God has promised to make every Christian the head and not the tail. This promise is as much for others as for you. This means God doesn't have to strip other people of their destinies to bring you into yours. I think we have about 5 writers in this room, I think, maybe more. You know, God's not going to make you better than the other 4. He's given each one of you a gifting to write books, and he's going to tell you what he wants to write in the books. Don't go and read somebody else's book and steal what they said, though. Amen. Come on. Write what God's telling you to write. Now, many people think they are the head if they have a position, and a tail if they don't. So they try to become the senior pastor, the chief intercessor, or the house prophet. Now, Elijah never had any of these positions, but he exercised more influence than anyone else in his generation. Why is it everybody has to have their name stuck up somewhere? God said he doesn't even like titles. You know, I never wanted to be ordained, but because I had a church for 1.5 years, they made me go get ordained. That was the church laws. I didn't have to be a reverend. I was just a person that God called to do a works for him. Are you understanding this? God told me, standing there, he said, you operate in a fivefold ministry. You are an apostle. You don't see apostle anywhere in anything I have. I put evangelist anywhere because when I was first saved, that's what God called me into, the service of an evangelist. So I put down evangelist Barbara Lynch. That's the title God gave me then. And I went back to that. I said, God, that's what you called me to be, and that's what I'm going to be. All right? Come on, guys. All right, so he's called you to be an intercessor. Are you being an intercessor? Are you wishing you'd be able to do something outside to intercede? You know, that's your gifting, is to be an intercessor and to be a good intercessor. An intercessor is more important than anybody else in the church, to tell you the truth. Because if we didn't have that intercessor working for us, the devil would work overtime, destroying the church. All right, I said, well, I'm going to read this paragraph before. So they tried to become the senior pastor, and you'll say, become important, the chief intercessor, or the house prophet. Elijah never had any of these positions, but he exercised more influence than anyone else in his generation. We know that God does call people to positions of leadership. We know that. But destiny is always bigger than position. Remember that. Destiny is always bigger than position. One man guards his position jealously and leaves a legacy of manipulation and control. I'm the pastor, and you're going to do what I tell you to do. You know? Another uses his position to help others come into their inheritance. One maintains his position, one walks in destiny. Y'all, you know, God could just say, I don't want you teaching there no more. And he said, I want you to do something else. Well, if I'm glued to this here pastor position, well, then I'm never going to grow. You know? So don't be glued to something. Be vulnerable and allow God to take you wherever He wants to take you. All right, the key is to get our eyes off our own destiny and focus on the destiny of all of God's people. Hear this. The key is to get our eyes off of our own destiny and focus on the destiny of all of God's people. We take what we have and give it away. Whatever you've learned, you give it away. You're a teacher. If you're in leadership position, you're a teacher. You should always be teaching somebody else. We take what we have and give it away, hoping that others can do more with it than we can ourselves. As Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, he said, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." See, Paul told Timothy, what you've heard me teach, now I want you to teach, tell others so they can then tell others. Paul spoke the language of greater purpose, not of personal fulfillment. Paul spoke the language of greater purpose, not of personal fulfillment. He trained Timothy to think the same way. They thought about divine purpose and did what they had to do, whether it seemed fulfilling or not. This was their destiny. My destiny is to teach ministers how to be ministers so God can then send them forth to start their own ministry. My job is not to keep you glued to a chair here. Now, if you become unteachable, and don't want to learn, that's your problem, not mine. In fact, when God tells me one of you become unteachable, I sort of start shunning you, because there's many more that want to be taught things. And if you're all that and then some, and I'm hearing God, so you're gullible to what the enemy's telling you, and you think you don't need to be taught anything anymore, well, then you're all out there on your own. And my hands are finished with you, because God will just say, move on. Are you listening here? Reality. If you are giving yourself to the purpose of God where you are at right now, you are in your destiny. If you are giving yourself to the purpose of God where you are right now, you are in your destiny. The only way to break through into destiny is to believe you're in it already, and to give yourself to God with all your heart. All right, now, some of you have gotten upset with me, you've gotten upset with God, you've gotten upset with yourself, and really and truly, getting upset with yourself was a thing you should have done, because you would not sit still and find out your true purpose, and I'm hearing this with God saying, your end purpose for your destiny, and you thought God should move then, and He didn't, because you still had a lot to learn. But you was chomping at the bits and wanted to get ahead of God. If God would have sent you out there in that field before you was ready, you would kill yourself, spiritually kill yourself. And even though we feel like we are ready, sometimes we're not ready. All right? Like David, Moses, Joseph, and Saul, you may find that your destiny includes a few desert years. I feel like I've been on the backside of the desert for 10 years right now. All right. It may include victories in battle and rich encounters in worship. It may take you into leadership, and it may even include personal failure and seasons of restoration. So let's read that again. Like David, Moses, Joseph, and Saul, you may find that your destiny includes a few desert years. Even Paul went on the backside of the desert. It may include victories in battle and rich encounters in worship. It may take you into leadership, and it may even include personal failure and seasons of restoration. All right. So if you messed up with your destiny, don't sit there and lick your wounds. Get up, brush yourself off, and move forward. And just tell God, I need more wisdom about my destiny. I need to understand exactly where I'm at this given second. All right, so I was talking to somebody who, you know, is a teacher, and she was talking about she'd like to teach kids, and I was saying, well, God told me that one of the things we would have is a Christian school, and I said, you know, you could even teach, if we could get a Christian school. When we get our building, wrong statement. I should have been out there looking for a school building already and had the Christian school already up and running. As I was talking to her, this all came to me. You know, and I thought about a couple Christian schools I've seen. You know, people got the building sitting out there, and they started Christian schools. And I'm still sitting here. When we get our building, what does the building have to do with starting a Christian school? Absolutely nothing. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? So what have you messed yourself up with? I want you to think about this. And I thought, well, now if I would already had the building and God sent a couple teachers in here and I'm saying, well, when we get our building, they could have had a job. And, all right. And with this COVID thing, we wouldn't have had to worry about none of the school stuff we're going through. We're a Christian school. We would have continued right on. Are you listening here? While your kids sit at home and learn more about their junk computers and stuff they have, like mine, they're homeschooled, so they get their schoolwork done first. But, you know, instead of them doing all that lazy stuff, they could have been still in school. All right? And then, see, I'm just showing you, you know, how we mess up our destinies. And then as I talked to this young lady, she said, when I went to school, I took up advertising, and I know how to do advertising. So here I am having you people muddle through, trying to learn how to advertise and look everything up. And I already had somebody in my midst that knows how to do all that without searching and making mistakes and errors and everything else, you know. They already know how to. And then everybody wouldn't be bogged down because they're over, you know, have too many duties on their shoulders. I already had somebody in the midst that could do that. And I might be messing up their destiny because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Are y'all understanding this? Okay. Perhaps you will be more influential in a few years, but you won't be more important to God than you in a few years than you are right now. Let's read it again. Perhaps you will be more influential in a few years, but you won't be more important to God than you are right now. Right now, you are very important to God. And right now, he's trying to get you to work on your destinies. Have me teach on this. He wants you to understand your destinies. He wants you to start working on your destinies because you really haven't been working on your destinies. You've been working on your wants. All right. And it's not your destinies. It's your wants. So what are you going to do with this tonight? You know, as I was putting this together, I thought about Astrid. I can't reach her group of people because I can't speak. I have a hard time understanding Astrid, let alone go and try to, you know, preach to her people. You know what I'm saying? And I notice whenever she's, telling them what I'm saying, she goes, she's trying to find a word that they'll understand that I just said, where she can speak the language right out, go right in there and have a church with, what are you? Puerto Rican. She could go in and have Puerto Rican people. She could just be a teaching her little heart out, and you don't have anybody there interpreting or anything else, and everybody's understanding, the glory can fall, and you don't have all this hesitation, right? And then I thought about Egioma. There's no way that I have a hard time understanding her and her people, but she could go minister to them, and you know, she could get them saved in 2 seconds, or I'm trying to, in 20 minutes, I'm trying to decipher what they just said to me. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not trying to minister to your people or to your people. God's trying to teach you two how to go forth and minister so you can minister to them. And I'm hearing God saying great power and strength. All right. So you're really not here just to sit here and be taught. Well, you are sitting here to be taught, but you're also here so that you can go forth and teach. All right. And, you know, I just looked at Nancy, and not in no way I can intercede the way she does, because she bawls and squalls and speaks in tongues and everything else, you know, and labors like crazy. And I just don't do that. I just sit down and quietly talk, you know. So I'm not trying to be an intercessor like Nancy. I intercede the way I intercede. I would go to this one Glow meeting every year, faithfully. Every year they would have me over there. And every time I'd go to minister to the guy that was in the sound booth who happened to be the pastor of the church. And I would tell him, you have more anointing than the pastor has. And I'm thinking, I know he's the pastor. Why am I saying that? Well, it so happened that he eventually gave up that church. And then one that took it over had, did not have the anointing. So he had more anointing than that pastor of that church had. But, you know, so I had, every time I went, I said, oh, Lord, don't have me tell that man that again. But he said, every time you come here, you tell me the same thing. And we laughed together. I said, I'm embarrassed because I know you're the pastor. See, neither one of us knew that went down the road he was going to give up that church because he loved that church. And the person that took it over just didn't have the anointing. But that pastor there, he really had the anointing to minister to that church. I think he went out on the road and God used him there. So, you know, we just have to stay in the place God has us, the anointing that he's given us, the giftings he's given us, and we just have to go flow with the Spirit of God and just do whatever God's telling us to do. Whether we like it or not, you know, we're saying, be quiet, God, be quiet. And he's using your mouth to say all kind of stuff, you know. And you just want him to be quiet because you're getting in hot water with those people, right? Now, are you willing to go out there and get in hot water? Then go and say, God, why'd you do that? It's your destiny. If you truly want to go out there and minister to these people that God's going to send in, the ones that are on the street, they're lost and they're dying, then you're just going to have to fulfill your destiny and use your giftings. Let God pull those giftings. What I'm saying is let God pull those giftings up. Don't you use them like, wow, well, you know, don't do that. Let God pull those giftings up at the right moment, and they'll do a work. So whether you can't do the work, but your gifting can do the work. All right? So I said, perhaps you will be more influential in a few years, but you won't be more important to God than at that point than you are right now. So what are you waiting for? Get out there and use your gifts to God's glory, and don't forget to thank the one who gave them to you. Make today count. Don't wait for tomorrow. As I go get these teachings together, I think about what we used to do. And how we used to go out on the streets, you know, and we'd minister. We'd go into the nursing homes and we'd minister. And the power of God would fall and all kind of things would happen. And we didn't stay inside the church. Of course, we had our church services. But we didn't stay inside the church. When we weren't having our services, we were out on the road doing something. That one family had 6 kids and they both had a job. They had to get those 6 kids ready about every night and bring them to my house so we could go and do something. But, you know, That's the way God had it. But not a one of us complained. We all enjoyed that. We had the church, but we went outside the church and showed people Jesus. Now, when the old Blue Hen Mall was there, and I go there, and that man was out there, that old man, repent. You know, he'd be yelling. I said to God, I can't do that. I can't walk up down the mall and say, yell, repent. I can't do that. But some of you in here could. I know Astrid could. She has enough. She's just bold enough to do it. So she's going to get a group of people behind her one day, and you're going to see her outside the mall, and they're all going to be on repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. It is. She's going to be saying, we're living in the days of Noah. You got to get it together, guys, or you're going to drown. You know? I don't know if any other of you in here are that bold, but I know she is because I watch her when she does other things. But Barbara could do that too. Yeah. She made herself a proclaimed scribe for the church, you know. So so she could do that too. See, it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's just something, you know, we have a good time with it, right? Didn't bother me any. I said, well, Barbara's going to have a word this morning when we get there. And sure enough, she did. I said, God, why did she do that? He said, she's a self-appointed scribe. Self-appointed scribe. Some of you have self-appointed yourself to be a prophet here. You see, when you've appointed yourself, you're self-appointed to write a book. God wants you to write a book, though, and you won't write a book. Now, you need to get off that cake. You need to go ahead and write the books that God's calling you to write. It's your destiny. Do you know that if you won't write a book, you probably won't do it? God won't use you to do anything else either. I'm so glad that Catherine and Chris were writing my books for me. They're using the teachings I do to put in books and the prophetic words God does. I really did the work. I did the hard work. They're doing the easy work. No, what they're doing is very hard. I had the easy work. God just gave it to you know. Come on, guys. Are you ready to walk into your destiny? Now, if God doesn't change anything, I'm going to teach a different aspect of destiny Sunday. But are you really ready tonight to walk into your destiny? And just to quit sitting around waiting for somebody else to change so you can do what God's calling you forth to do. So I said, God, if these people just change, you'll be able to bring the glory in the church. Then one day God said, I'm waiting on you. Oh, you are? Yeah, he said, you've gotten off course, or you want everybody else to change. And he said, nobody needs to change. You just need to be you again. He said, why are you looking at them? So what's keeping you from going into your destiny? That's why I repeated that. Well, I'm waiting for my husband to agree. Well, he's never going to agree, so you're never going to go into your destiny. Because the devil's going to make sure he does not agree. Well, I need monies. Well, then you're never going to reach your destiny because you're waiting around for something that's not going to happen. The only way it's going to happen is if you're out there fulfilling God's will. Now, I'm going to give a testimony here tonight that from the day that God asked me to quit my job, it took me 6 months to agree to that because I had a good paying job. But, you know, and from the time God told me to quit my job, he said, I'll write you a paycheck. It'd be greater than the world's paycheck. I didn't realize he meant souls. But, you know, God's always kept me. Through all this, you guys have been so faithful. God's kept God has kept the church open. God has been faithful. What I'm saying is, He will make a way for your gifts. He will make a way for you to go into your destiny. Quit sitting back and making up all the excuses why you can't do the things that God's calling you forth to do. All right? God will make a way. He promises that. He said, if I send you, I'll take care of you. Well, dear Lord, I know He sent me, and He's always taken care of me. I use my testimony many, many times because, you know, my first husband, he divorced me. He took everything, left me penniless. My second husband died thinking he had me set up and I was going to be a millionaire, and I got nothing because he didn't do it right. But God's been keeping me. Are you ready for God to keep you? If you are, then you've got to say, you have to tell God, I want to go into my destiny tonight. I want to use my gifts that you've given me and not wait for somebody else to use their gifts. Now, if you're ready for that, God's ready right now. I'm hearing Him say He's ready to super glue you tonight into His everlasting arms. And He'll take you to a place where your destiny will surely be fulfilled. And you won't ever have to wonder ever again, God, what is it you want me to do? Each one of you already know what God wants you to do. Now you have to step into that destiny and you have to fulfill it because we're in a new era. We're in a new dispensation of time, whole new time frame. And so God has to bring our gifts forward. You're going to be ministering to a whole new set of people that's going to come in. Grace, you're going to be ministering to a whole new set of people that's going to come in that don't know about the flagging, about the dancing. And God told you you're supposed to teach it, right? And so each one of you know what God's called you forth to do. And God's told Alan He's going to do the vroom, 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 vroom thing, you know, the motorcycle thing. I don't know where he's at in that yet. He's got a different motorcycle, but I don't know what he's doing with it, you know. Are you witnessing to the people? And are we a good witness? Brother Aaron told us how he prophesied to one or two people, and it was right where they were at, right? So you see, let your gifts come. You know, out there is where you need to use your gifts, not inside the house. Out there. We all know all about giftings. And we all know which each one of us have. But people out there don't know about the gifts. They don't know about God. They don't know there's a hope. And right now, people out there really need hope. People out there are dying right and left. And you know, I'm connected with the drug people. And I'm hearing every day where somebody's overdosed. Because they've lost all hope. There's not anybody out there to tell them there is a way out of this mess. There is a Jesus who loves you. Doesn't matter who's rejected you. Jesus will never reject you. Maybe that's your ministry. Maybe that's your destiny, to get out there and minister to people like that. I don't know. But you do. Well, Father, I truly do thank you right now. You know, there's many out there that's listening to my voice tonight. You've procrastinated too long, God's saying. He wants you to stand up and shake yourself tonight. Proclaim your liberty in Christ and step into your destiny. And as you do this, God is going to start speaking through you. He's going to start speaking to you through a prophet or just to hear his still small voice. But he is going to give you divine directions. Thank you. There's a person listening tonight. Your name is Nancy. And God is saying, Nancy, I love you with everlasting love. And I know, daughter, the road has been rough and it's been long. But I have never left you nor forsaken you. I've always been right there holding your hand. Daughter, I breathe life into your nostrils. And my breath is inside of you still this day. Tonight, pull yourself up. Take my hand and allow me to lead, guide, and direct you into your true destiny. Where you're at today, daughter, is not where I wanted you to be. But daughter, as you take my hand tonight, as you surrender yourself to me, I, your Father, I will lead, guide, and direct every footstep from this moment forth. Trust me and know that I love you with an everlasting love. Father God, we thank you for it in Jesus' holy mighty name. We give you all honor and all glory. We thank you for it, Father. And you in here, God wants you to sit right now. Just close your eyes and just sit at his footstool. Some of you he's going to give a vision to. Others, he's going to pour more fire into you. He's going to give you more power, more authority to go forth with authority in your voice that the enemy will have to bow his knee to. And some of you in here tonight, God's saying that he wants you to scrap all of your plans, for they were not his plans, they were yours. Scrap your plans and just give him full and complete rule and reign in your life, and let him speak to you and tell you what his plans are for your life. Father, we thank you. Some of you in here, God has told you his plan for your life, but the enemy came along and the enemy dirtied it and defiled it. And God wants to wash that plan clean tonight so that you can start anew and afresh and go forth and do the works that God's called you forth to do. Father, we thank you for it. We just praise you for it. We thank you for your angelic hosts that are here right now. Your angels are all over, Father God, all over the land, ministering to your people, fighting your battles for them. And we thank you, Father God, for those that are here and in the sound of my voice, that the angels are working overtime, bringing them forth. We thank you for it. We praise you for it, Father. My children, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise in my word. Some throw that around like it means nothing, but I tell you tonight, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even if you choose to turn your back on me, I never turn my back on you. I want you to understand that I am a faithful Father, long-suffering, full of grace and mercy. And I'm calling you forth tonight, in truth and in liberty, to go forth and do a great and mighty works for me.